If you're on social media, you've probably seen my guest today in a side profile, shirtless pic, looking lean and mean. I'm fired up for this convo with recently retired NFL offensive tackle Russell Okung. Russell, thanks for the time.
No problem. It's good to be on. I really enjoyed your work and the newsletter. So it's an honor to spend time
Awesome.
with you. Peace on to you, brother.
I appreciate that, and I've been looking forward to this one for a while now. So I know personally, and my mom brought it up as a kid, and my wife talks about it. After about 3 hours of not eating, I'm big time hangry. You don't want to be around me. I know you're on day 7 of a 40-day fast. How are you feeling?
I feel incredible. Now, usually, what I like to tell people is it's the first 4 days. Once you get over those first 4 days, like you get a renewed sense of strength and energy and clarity. But it's just those first four. Those first four are so challenging. You're upset with everybody. You're irritated. If you have kids, it's even worse. But yeah, it's the body does what it does. But to me, it's a very beautiful experience. You learn a lot about yourself.
It's funny you say that. I've done a couple, like two, three, and I did 1 4-day, but I did the 4 day away from my two kids because I knew I couldn't be around them. But you're right, towards the end of the fourth day, you're like, do I really want to? Like, I'm feeling pretty good. So I know with the first fast you went down about 100 pounds from your NFL playing weight. What's your goal here with the second fast?
Oh, well, if you don't mind, maybe I can unpack my
Please.
perspective of how I think about fasting. So, in the very essence of fasting, it suggests, or at least historically or in antiquity, that things are not going well. Okay? Eating is a fundamental aspect of our existence. And to refrain from it implies a disruption to a natural order of life. And while there's a wondrous truth that you can lose weight from fasting, right? And that abstinence can do certain things for you, right? The way I look at it is it's a communion and a dependence, right, on God and in sanctity, right? So the way I'm beginning to kind of shape my thinking around this is I try to tell people, and this is very hard to get through. Your pursuit cannot be about weight loss alone. Right? For me, it was about desperation. I needed a change in my life. I needed to absolutely change. The reality for me was that I was leaving a game where every morning I would get up in pain. My feet, my joints, I had torn ligaments, tendons, a history of pulmonary embolism. Lacerated lungs, right? And I had kids I wanted to chase, a wife that I wanted to love, right? And it was just hard for me to get up. The testosterone levels were completely depleted, right? I was leaving an environment in which conflict and controversy was one of the main proponents that drove its surroundings. And I was bringing that home. I wanted to absolutely change. I wanted to change. So this kind of made sense to me, right? I wanted to recenter myself right around humility, a renewed relationship with a higher power, right? And I feel like the most proper way to do that would be through fasting.
I know it's been used for millennia, right? Like that's how kind of people have kind of found themselves in different spiritual ways. So obviously, and I know you're a spiritual person, there's huge part of this is spirituality and kind of that next chapter in your life, which is it's so interesting. And we'll make sure to include links so everybody can follow along. And I know you have a website set up. Because it's a wonderful journey, and hopefully, not even hopefully, I know you'll be impacting a lot of people that'll be following along and inspired by your journey, not just in the fasting and health and wellness, but more in the spirituality side of things. If people are really paying attention beyond just the headlines that they're seeing of what you're up to. So on a personal level, I'm obsessed with data. I wear Whoop every day, and I love looking. My stats, and I know you've been posting your stats, and what are you using to track your data?
Well, I'm an investor in Whoop as well. Right. So Uber, these guys are good friends. I'm also using a couple of other technologies that, you know, I really can't talk about yet, you know, but it's all coming together. It's using a myriad of things, you know, and awesome. In my first fast, I didn't really record anything. And I was trying to tell people about these benefits. I mean, I was tracking my eye health, testosterone levels, everything. I wanted to really understand what are the benefits of what I'm going through right now. And I would tell people and they wouldn't believe me. So I figured, okay, well, if I'm gonna do this again, you know, this time around, I'm gonna take a much more data oriented approach, right? And show people, you know, at least from my vantage point experience, because I, you know, I'm certainly not a medical professional, you know, I'm not a clinician in any sort of way, that, you know, there are quantifiable means, right, to achieving health or building out your own health management system and wellness system through fasting.
Yeah, Will from Whoop is in the community here at Plainfield, so I'm sure he'll be loving what you're up to. But I have a question. Your sleep durations are looking like 4 to 5 hours. Are you always sleep 4 to 5 hours, or is that a cause of fasting?
It's definitely a cause of fasting. I've prided myself off of trying to sleep for at least 8 to 9. I feel like I was most productive in that. At least that's one of the learnings I picked up in football. But, you know, during fasting, you know, it's a different experience. Mm. It's a different experience. And also doesn't help when the kids wake you up early either.
Yeah, I know that also. I know that also well.
Go ahead.
No, sorry. I just like, I have so many like minor little questions here, but your HRV, how has it been affected by the fasting so far?
Yeah, I've seen a quite interesting range in HRV, about maybe you know, but 6 points. It goes kind of goes both it goes both ways, you know, and then it's also hinged upon, you know, my cardio levels for the day, you know. So I've been getting a lot of questions in regards to like, okay, how do you think about working out, right, and staying active? And I certainly believe in perspirating, sweating, getting the body breathing, right, and moving. I don't believe in being horizontal all day and laying down. No, like move as much as you can, right? Because when you get to that day 20, right, you're not going to be able to move much. At least that's my experience. So, you know, I figured, you know, in the earlier parts, walk, jog, you know, do a lot of movement therapy. Like people think about only physical training, you know, and you would know this because, you know, you've been around some of the top people, but movement therapy is one of the best things, you know, you can do. You know, so I've been actually studying a lot of gait analysis, right? When you kind of remove these past patterns, which I think, you know, with my muscles, the things I can do now, I couldn't do before because of just the sheer size, right, of my muscle tone, right? So certain stretches and ranges, you know, I couldn't get into before, I can now get into. So now I'm working through it, right, and mending and shaping the body, right, to think about form, right, in a much more appropriate way.
Yeah, I've been along those lines. I've been obsessed in the last for a while now, and Tom's been preaching for a while, but for a long, long time. But it hasn't like clicked till recently. Is this idea of like flow in your body and blood flow in flushing in all areas, right? And you know, if you have body work and like you just see afterwards, kind of like the veins, kind of like the blood actually flowing, and you know, you see somebody as they get older, and you see like the paler skin and this, and like. I've just been thinking a lot of like kind of how blood flushes through the body, and a big part of that is movement. And to what you said, right, is like being in shape and being able to, you know, get to that point where you can have that movement. So,
well, it's true. And what do we say in sports? Like motion is lotion, right? So yeah. When you're feeding the body motion, you actually become a better athlete if you're a better mover. You know, so like I even see like my veins, like I'm getting a lot of blood flow. I can feel my skin tightening on my face, right? Like it's crazy what's been going on. This isn't a new practice, right? I didn't just make this thing up, right? I just looked back. I studied antiquity. I studied religious text, right? And it's very normative, right? In many of these societies where we're talking about the Babylonians, African empires, the Hebrew Bible, Islamic culture. It's all over, Yet it seems to be a lost art, very lost art when it comes to modern days.
Yeah, and you're obviously, you just came from a culture in the NFL where the thought of spirituality and, you know, kind of all this, like, all this kind of non hit the weight, eat a lot of food, bulk, you're kind of, it's a different world that you were in. So I'm sure it's kind of a nice change for you.
What do you think about this, right? Because there is a, I think there's another function which, you know, I didn't actually think about until now. I was looking over some data and it said in the last 25 years, and this is kind of according to the CDC, right, that 54% of U.S. children aged between 17 and younger suffer from some type of chronic disorder. This is a 2011 report, yeah. Right? So we're not even talking about the adults. Right? So the question I'm starting to look at, particularly when I'm thinking about our biological systems, soil health, food, how we eat, how we consume, hormones, immunity, respiration, neurology, right? Why are so many diseases, right, in such unrelated parts of the body and now increasing at such a rapid rate? Like, what's the relation?
Yeah, it's scary, and it's one of those things like, are we sacrificing all this, you know, forward motion, all the areas of technology, food, this, to, you know, miss on what the actual, like the kind of the baseline is, right? Like, what is our health and longevity and all that? So it's definitely scary. I see it with my own kids. I see what people are serving, what people eat, you know, what kids are eating. I mean, it's it's wild.
It's wild.
You know, kind of getting off, I'll leave you alone on the million questions about health, wellness, and spirituality. But I've seen, like, you know, a lot of guys, they'll leave professional sports and haven't even thought about what's next. You know, it seems like for a long time following along, you've had your finger, you know, off the field with different ventures, and especially in the tech, and even more specifically crypto, Bitcoin. How did you first get involved in the crypto world?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I hate to ping too much on spirituality, but, you know, I like to bring my entire self, right, to all of my endeavors. You know, so I had a very peculiar background when it comes to religion. You know, I come from a very tribal setting in Southeast Nigeria, you know, with a mix of Catholicism, right, and Baptist. Learned from Jehovah's Witness. I came up in a Church in God Christ church, and then I studied more reformist type thinking, and then now I'm really, you know, paying attention to a lot of the things in the Hebrew Bible as well as in Islamic culture, right? And it's interesting that money, investing, and finance seems to be at the precipice of many of these ideologies. Right. And I seem to have been able to pick certain things up, you know, from that journey and then apply it, right, in real time to what I'm looking at modernly. So many people, they idolize people like Warren Buffett, Ray Dalio, and Charlie Munger. Right. And from my perspective, you know, I look up to some of the greatest writers, you know, in the Bible. I look up to people like David, right, and Solomon. Right. And Moses, why? Because if you look at, you know, Psalms 1, you know, the way it starts, it says, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doeth that he meditate on it day and night, and he shall be like a tree. Right? When I looked at my investment philosophy, I wanted to be planted like a tree, right? I wanted to be planted by the rivers of the water and then to bring forth fruit in my season, right? So my entire perspective has been on legacy, right? And being rooted, right? And in having a long track record of endurance, thinking 30, 40, 50, 100 years out. And so it's just required, you know, a very distinct way of thinking. To answer your question specifically about crypto, let's just stay along these threads, right? Particularly, you know, when we're, you know, if I'm thinking about Solomon here. Solomon says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender, right? That's in Proverbs, right? So let's just look at what's going on right now. Let's examine the debt ceiling conversation, okay? All right. And this isn't a matter of red and blue, right, or partisan politics, but rather connected to the nature of fiat currency. So both political parties are shaping a narrative to cater to their respective supporters. But the truth is that both parties are contributing to an ongoing spending and accumulation of debt, which hurts everyone. So this leads to an increasing amount of debt, a debt spiral, right? And consequently accelerates the debasement of fiat currency. Okay? So it's just concerning, right? How normalized debt can be in our society, right? Yet the ancient wisdom says, debt makes you a slave. Yet debt's being propagated all over the place. You know, so when I look at Bitcoin specifically, I think about things from that vantage point, right? Is how should I think about money as a means of value, as a means to be exchanged, right? Over 20, 30, 40, 100 years, if possible.
Yeah. It is interesting the way you said, and the way things are going right now with the industry and kind of regulations coming down and all this. I personally see that, like, it's all benefiting kind of the what Bitcoin stands for, and we want regulation because I think it's going to obviously help the industry. Is that the way you're seeing things, and to that, where do you see crypto and Bitcoin over the next year or so?
Well, I mean, it's too hard to tell. Obviously, the regulations coming down and the scandal with FTX, right, didn't make anything easier.
No.
But I still believe that ultimately Bitcoin is a 100x better consumer product. Superior. It's a superior protocol, and some people will call it money, right? It's essentially uncensorable, unseizable, unfreezable, and permissionless, right? And it's borderless, right? It's borderless. You legitimately come just as powerful as Goldman Sachs, as any bank in the world, and you can create for yourself a powerful and competitive advantage, right? And if regulation isn't working to your favor, move into a jurisdiction which can help you do that, right? That's what we're going to see. And there's an interesting book called The Sovereign Individual, right, where there is essentially pointing, right, to this dilemma that as cyber money continues to come online, right, we're going to have an internet money, a money of the internet, and those who understand how to wield it will be very successful. Those who can take access of deflationary technologies would do extremely well for themselves, right? And we're seeing that, with AI and what's coming down that pipeline. It's happening in real time. It's crazy, right, how spot on this book is. But the third part is that people are going to vote with their feet. If regulators and policymakers are going to continue to make it difficult for people to create wealth, build wealth for themselves, well, people are just going to move, right? People are going to move. And now it's more possible than ever, right, because we have a global money which is accepted anywhere, and it could be right in the middle of your pocket. You have real sovereignty over it. We've never seen anything like this before.
And you're obviously such a believer. You started Okun Ventures, and here at Plainfield, love just like how we as a community support each other. So tell us about Okun Ventures, what you're up to there, and how our community here at Plainfield can support you.
All right. Well, no, look, Okun Ventures is just a family office. It's a family office where I run essentially my own boardroom, right? So it's me, my insular family. We look at assets all over the world, right? And our thesis is built on true hard money, Bitcoin, hard assets. We spend a lot of our time and attention and focus building that very slowly, you know, but it's been one of the most rewarding experiences, you know, of my life. We're building for the next 200-300 years. My she's going to be four in a little bit. My 4-year-old and 2-year-old, they sit in on meetings. I want them to see things that I didn't see, you know? So we're teaching them slowly. And my prayer is that they can come up in this business and really take over it when my time is done.
Yeah. So last question, you quickly mentioned it earlier, but you've been ahead of the curve on Bitcoin. Any parting thoughts on AI? Are we screwed as a human race? Something positive to end on here.
Oh man. Well, this is a hard question. You know, I think, I don't want to minimize, you know, the power of artificial intelligence. I think there's a certain place for it, you know, but I'm much more bullish on the power of human intelligence. You know, I truly believe that we haven't scratched the surface of what humans are capable of. And I think this fast is indicative, you know, of that. But I'm seeing the stories that I'm receiving, the DMs I'm getting, which from crazy is mostly men. Mostly men are reaching out and saying, you know, this is what it's doing for my family. This is what I'm doing. It's doing for myself, right? That's real power, right? So artificial intelligence excites me. Human endeavor excites me even more, right? So we're not doomed as long as we have a role on this earth, right? As people, which is to be fruitful, to multiply, and to have dominion on this place, right? Then we can't be stopped. We just have to stay focused on the goal at hand.
Beautiful way to end, my friend. I thank you so much, Russell, for inspiring me. No doubt inspiring the community here. I know anything is possible when you set your mind to it. And you kind of think deeper than just what's on the surface. And that's kind of the biggest theme I've taken away from my conversation with you today is, you know, there's always a level deeper. And so best of luck with your fast. Stay healthy, and we'll be following along, my friend.
Thank you so much, Ben. I appreciate you having me.